Okay, the next person that I want to introduce, I don't know, I think I'm getting a little tipsy because each time before I introduce someone, I like look at them and I think of them, I'm like, what could I say? And just, Mickey's just so beautiful. So she's the lady in blue. This is Mickey Laval.
I have a really short story. So I actually just heard that it was the National Month of Poetry. Wow, yeah. Who knew? Exactly. So I guess I was so involved in exams, I missed the festivities. So I thought to celebrate that, I would just maybe read a couple of my poems first before I read a bit of my story, if you don't mind. So the first one's called I Wanna Be. I want to be the kind of woman who can shake her peachy round boobies and butt at any man she pleases, going, no, baby, this ain't for you, and have a whole pack of people say, my God, she's such a tease, but she's so nice too. I want to be the kind of woman who can sling a baseball with so much power it stretches the veins in her hand and sends a perfect circle straight to the strike zone, the flash of a bat missing contact, and have the crowd all go, my God, what hand-eye coordination. And she's so nice, too. I want to be the kind of woman who, hearing a scarlet-faced, screaming infant howl hot with rage, his whole body vibrating, can then pick up that baby and go, cuckoo, baby, and soothe him in her calm, cool arms, and have all the folks in my family go, my God, she's so gentle. And really, so nice, too. I want to be the kind of woman who knows that if two cyclists start from opposite ends of a course that is 45 kilometers long and one cyclist is riding at 25 kilometers an hour and the other at 10 kilometers an hour, she knows that it will take them exactly 1 hour and 17 minutes to meet. And then the multitudes would go, my God, she's so brainy, and she's so nice too. I want to be the kind of woman who can stand in a spot of painted light and raise her big toned bell of a voice and song, wrapping herself up in the skin of life with her honeypot vocal cords and have the people pressing wall to wall say, my God, when she sings, my heart stands still. Yeah, and she's so nice too. I want to be the kind of woman who can sizzle up for her man the perfect cowboy steak and have its flavor running and tingling up and down his spine and then lick the juices off his plate and then have sex on the kitchen floor 3 times in a row, on my knees, my back, and my toes, and afterwards, after the sweating, when he turns and he looks at me, I want to be that woman that he sees. Okay, I'll just read 2 short ones after it. This one's called Baby Blue. I bought them for my 19th birthday. Boots aren't shoes, but these weren't boots. These were baby blue leather. They were high-strutting, aching, nasty, I am woman, hear me roar as I stomp all over your heart, little love machines. It was painful to wear them. It was painful not to wear them. One night I lost them. How did I get home? 10 years later, a friend called to say he had my baby blue toe-squeezing man-teasers and that his daughter's wearing them. And this last one is for all you Nancy Drew fans out there. It's called Nancy Drew's Guide to Life. If you see something that looks like a shark, don't fret. It's a submarine filled with thieves. If you end up bound and gagged in the dark, tap out help in Morse code with your heels. You should always keep your ice skate sharpened to impersonate a figure skater, spend time at the gym to build up your strength, to fend off vicious hair-pulling strangers. Carry a police whistle, it scares off the creeps, your birth certificate in case you need it, keep a flashlight near you while you sleep, and burlap over shoes to hide the footprints. Remember, sleuthing makes one hungry, so pack a hearty snack. Oh, and being able to throw your voice gets you out of all sorts of tight jams. I figured it's like a good way to get more applause is to read more stuff. I should have thought of that. Okay, so I'm going to just read you a little bit from the story I wrote. It's called The Tree Cow, a tale for children of all ages. So this means you. Okay. There are always signs that a windstorm's coming. The birds fly low to the ground, and the fishes in the sea swallow stones to sink to the bottom. Strange things happen. Like the last time, the winds, they ripped through the empty bouncy ball factory, and they tipped over the containers, and hundreds of thousands of little balls, pink, blue, yellow, orange, and green, filled the air. They were everywhere at once, bouncing off cars, off old metal drain pipes and telephone poles. But at least for once, the storm looked pretty, like it was not breaking up and blowing away what was left of our lives, but was having fun, tipping over the world and shaking it up. That night, when I closed my eyes, I wasn't afraid, because I saw little balls of color bouncing against the back of my black eyelids. In the morning, everything was upside down. Blades of hay had pierced the fences like they were spears. A whole herd of sheep had had their wool taken off, but were left standing, naked and happy, munching on the grass. Cars had been blown over like they were pieces of tinfoil, and guess what? A cow had been picked up and set down without a scratch in our oak tree. She was smaller than a full-grown cow, but still big, like a large rectangle with bones at the hip and knees. At first, my brother and father tried different ways to push and pull her down using ropes, but in the end they gave up and left her where she was. I'd never seen a cow sitting up in a tree, so I stood there for a while, looking up at her outlined against the blue sky, and that's when she slid her tongue up one nostril and then the other. It made me laugh. Just like that. Since they closed the school, there wasn't much to keep me busy. Who knows what my brother did all day running around and Mum and Dad were gone. So I crawled up the ladder to look at the cow. She turned her big head in my direction and sniffed my ears with her big damp nose. I climbed onto the branch, sat next to her, left my legs swinging in the air. I put my arm around her warm, broad neck and looked up at the sky. The sun reminded me of a fried egg on a blue plate. I stroked her fur. She licked my neck, face, and ears. Later, when my brother came to get me for dinner, I told him I was staying with the cow in the tree, and could I have my dinner sent up, maybe in a basket? He ran back into the house, and next my dad came out. "It is impossible to have dinner in a tree," he said. "Are we having soup?" "Get down from there this minute." "I'm never coming down," I said, which hadn't been my plan, but once the words came out, I had to stick with it. "Well, then I'll see you when you change your mind." Then he turned his back, went back into the house, shut the door behind him, and my heart started beating faster. When I saw that nobody was coming to beg me to come down, I started worrying. I was afraid of the night. I was afraid I would fall out of the tree in the dark. But when everyone had gone to bed and all the lights that still worked went out, I discovered a different world. It was quieter, and I could hear sounds from very far off. I could see how the houses were all sitting at different angles, a little bit to the right or left or a little bit leaning back. I could see where part of our old neighbor's roof had been peeled off, and I could see old chimney pots from blocks away and further off mountaintops. I leaned against the warm cow. She licked my ear. I brought my knees up to my chin and thought about my empty bed. At some point, I must have dozed off. In the morning, I ached all over, but the cow and me had made it through the night. I pulled off a leaf and started chewing on it, and that's what I was doing when my brother came out, all excited, jumping up and down, ready to give me a hand. "What can I do? How can I help you?" "A blanket, a pillow, a rope, a bag of apples, several tins of sardines, a water bottle," that was my list. Then I made two crowns out of leaves and twigs and put one on my head and one on the cow's to celebrate. This made her so happy, her whole body looked like it lifted into a smile. On that first day, we counted. Squirrels, 12. Birds, 18. Cow spots, 22. The swirls of white hair near the base of her neck, 4. Plus, I discovered that she could do this trick. She could shake parts of her skin to get rid of the insects without using her tail. At night, my parents had dinner outside on the picnic table near the tree, taking no notice of me. This was their strategy, to ignore the situation and to wait me out. While they ate their spaghetti, my favorite, my brother tried to catch my eyes when they weren't looking. It bugged me that he was afraid of being caught on my side, but he's always been such a people pleaser. Why worry about him anyway? I'd found a good spot to settle into. Looking down on my dad, I saw how his hair was thinning on top, and how from this angle he looked older, more worn out. Over the next few days, my brother told me that the grocery stores were now empty. Flags were always flying at half-mast. Plus, my dad started looking out the window a lot with squinty eyes and heaving a deep sigh and saying, "Goddamn government." Then there were times, my brother said, when my daddy would go silent, his disgust at everything too great for words. But for me, it was like the good times could go on forever and ever. I never had to brush my teeth, worry about my elbows on the table, plus no more bedtime. Neither me or the cow kept regular hours. We just slept for short spells at any time of the day and night. We got along really well. Not surprising. Together we had joined that whole world that sleeps and nests and quivers in the trees, our blood was now flowing in time with the sap in the leaves.
This is the best line. The sun, is this right? Tell me if this is right. The sun reminded me of a fried egg on a blue pan.
Plate.
Plate, on a blue plate. That's even better. Very good. I give you a towel.